you and less of me, God, that people be eternally touched and blessed. And we do thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And let everybody shout.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's get our Bibles in our hands. And repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Amen. So grateful to have all of you here on this Sunday, this pink Sunday. You look so beautiful in your pink. We've been in a leadership series, and I've been enjoying teaching, more teaching than preaching, but I've been enjoying working this leadership because I believe for the next level where we're trying to go, we need leaders, not just in the pulpit, but leaders in the pews. And so our first sermon was Leader Slips. Say, Leader Slips. Basically what I'm doing, I'm taking leadership and I'm making my own words out of it to show us things. So we talked about leader slips, and the first thing we talked about was bottleneck leadership. And we talked about how bottleneck leadership is not the right type of leadership. You can always go back and get the CD and go back to the website. And then we moved into something that was funny, kind of funny sounding, but leader pimps. And we broke that down. I must admit, I must say this is probably the only time in my life I've said pimp that many times in one sermon. But you got the point and you got the picture. And basically what it come down to, we broke out leader pimp versus leadership. And what that was is the difference between having your leader take advantage of you versus being there for you, or having the difference of your followers taking advantage of the leader. And what we talked about is that you should never be in a relationship where your leader is taking advantage of you or you're taking advantage of your leader. The number one relationship that it should be from the leader to the pews and from the pews to the leader is the idea that I'm coming to get the word and that person is feeding me the word. It is a relationship where you're coming for the word. So you're not trying to take advantage, you want the word. I'm not trying to take advantage of you, I'm giving you the word. And when we walk in that way, we grow and we become leaders in the way we should be. All right, so that leads me up to what I want to talk about today. But first, I'm going to give us a point, and then from that point, I'll tell us what today's lesson is on. The point that I want to say is that if the rate of external change exceeds our rate of internal change, we run the risk of becoming obsolete as leaders. Say that again. If the rate of external change, in other words, outside, the world is moving at a rapid pace, especially technology. The world is moving at a rapid pace. So if the outside world moves faster than your inside world, what happens is we become obsolete as leaders. Let me say it one more time to break it down. What happens is if the world is moving faster out there than you're growing in here, then what happens is you lose your momentum as a leader. The world is moving fast. Things are happening fast. And the old people used to tell us that how the days seem shorter. But the older you get, it seems like, I mean, today is Sunday. It looks like you wake up tomorrow, it's Thursday. Things aren't moving fast. So on the inside, you've got to be growing fast. You cannot be talking about giving me grandma's religion. No, you need your own personal growth with God, and you need to be growing at a rapid pace because the world is moving, and we cannot have stagnant, stuck people. So that leads me to today's lesson. Today's lesson is simply this: leader shifts. Somebody say leader shifts. Give us another point, and then we're gonna start working it. The world is ever changing and shifting. So must our leadership, because true leadership is not positions, it's actions. People have been told that leadership is a title or position. So once I get the title or the position, I don't have to do anything else because I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I's married now. But baby, the moment you walk down the aisle, that's not all about marriage. You got to do some actions. Some people are so excited to get down the aisle and, oh, he proposed to me. They forget you've got to live the marriage. Leadership is not a position. It's continual actions.
And so if you're not growing at a rapid pace on the inside, what's going to happen? You're going to be stuck in positions thinking that you're leading and you're stagnant and you're not moving anything or anybody anywhere. And I want to develop leaders that are moving and growing. I want to develop leaders that are not stuck on stupid and stuck on yesterday. I don't want you to be the same person next year. Somebody asked me, they said, Pastor, what is one of your biggest fears? One of my biggest fears is that I'm going to be the same person tomorrow. I want to grow. I want to be a better husband than I am today. I want to grow. I don't want to just suck up air and suck up time and never expand who I am, because the world is changing and the world is dying. And if I don't grow and if I don't have something to offer them, then what happens? I become obsolete as a leader. Some of us, if you remember that I got a cell phone, and cell phones, you can put them in your pocket, you can talk on email, you can text, you can get on Facebook, but the first cell phones were so huge, you couldn't put them in your pocket. You remember them first cell phones? I'm thinking them things were big, and you almost had to carry a briefcase to carry it around. If you saw somebody today with a cell phone like that, you would say, that man crazy. But the church is the same way. We're stuck in old ways. Old mentality trying to reach a new world. No, we've got to grow and change. And in order to do that, we need to shift. In order to do that, we've got to move. In order to do that, you cannot go to another level without a shift. What I know about cars, I'm not very good at driving stick shifts, but I've driven them. And what I know is you cannot go 80 miles an hour in gear two. What will happen is you will hear grinding and winding, and it will not accelerate. You cannot accelerate without a shift. And what I want you to understand as leaders, we cannot be what we want to be until we're ready to shift. Sometimes you got to shift every day, because life comes at you fast and hard. You may go to bed well and wake up sick. You got to shift. You got to know what to do. You can't stick your head in the sand. You got to be ready to move with forward momentum. Amen. I'm sure trying to teach us. All right, that's gonna take me back to what I talked about last week. I'm not going to give us all the points, but we're going to talk about leadership trajectory. You can look at it up here. This has steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. We ended up, well, just for the sake of review, let me give you all of them real quick. Doing the wrong thing, not knowing it's wrong, that's the first step. You're doing wrong, but you don't know it's wrong. And we said we don't have a problem with those type of people, because they can always be trained. And when you're doing something wrong, you don't know it's wrong, you can always be corrected. Our problem is leaders who are stuck in number two. They're doing the wrong thing, and they know they're doing the wrong thing. You can't deal with people that are rebellious and don't want to change. You're wasting your time trying to get them people to move, because they're doing the wrong thing, and they know it's the wrong thing, and they don't plan to change. And then there's number three, where you're doing the right thing, but you're not knowing you're doing the right thing. In other words, you're just lucking into things. And what we said, we want to transition. Sometimes the church is stuck at number three. So-and-so got healed. Well, how? I don't know. We prayed, we fasted, but we really don't know how to tell people practically how to get blessings. So where we want to be is number four, doing the right thing, knowing it's the right thing, because you can lead me when you do what's right and you know how you got there. How did you get married and stay married 17 years? Devin was 20 and you were 23. How did y'all last this long? Well, it wasn't luck. I can tell you the steps that we took, because now I'm doing the right thing, knowing it's the right thing. And so I want us to be leaders like that. So that helps us with leadership. Let's go to the next point. We're going to read, before I give you the point, I'm just going to leave that up there real quick. So when I was looking at this, I was trying to figure out how can I start, because there's so many shifts that we have to make in life. So I can't give you all the shifts. I wanted to focus on one shift that I thought would help us. And I was trying to think about how can I explain it, and I came up with the perfect idea. When I first got back from my surgery and I first began to go back to work, on the way home, there was a part of the two-lane highway that I traveled that they had shifted to one lane at a certain part. There's an arrow pointing, and what it's telling you is you've got to get over. Well, since I didn't know that, the very first time I went there, I got stuck in the lane, and then I had to wait, and people were passing me by, and then I made my shift. But when I understood it, now what I have to do is, before I even get to to that place, I have to make a shift ahead of time. And the reason why I make the shift early is because I understand. And what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about understanding. What's going to help you with your shifts and your leadership is you've got to have some understanding. Excuse my terminology and my French, but it's time out for dumb Christianity. It's time out for dodos in the house of God where you can't tell anybody how you got anything. And all you want to say is, well, just pray on it. People want to hear more than just pray on it. We've got to have an understanding. You've got to be able to articulate why you believe in the God that you believe in. You can't just say, grandma, I go to grandma's church. You have to have your own personal convictions, and you've got to understand. Why did you take over the church? I understand why I am in the place I'm in, and I can articulate it. I can share it, and I can also defend the gospel. When the atheist talks to me, I'm not afraid. When the Muslim talks to me, I'm not afraid because I have an understanding. I'm not here because Royce and Joyce. I'm not here because of Devin. I've got a personal conviction, and I understand. And every shift I've made in my life started with ground zero one, understanding. All right, let's read the next verse, or the first verse. Proverbs 4:7.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Very familiar scripture in the house of God, but it comes to the basis, in all thy getting, get an understanding. I'm not going to beat you up if you're on your fourth marriage and you've been divorced four times. I'm going to love you, but it behooves you to get an understanding. It behooves you to look in the mirror and say, why does this keep happening to me? You cannot blame everybody for all your problems. Sometimes you got to get an understanding and figure out, why am I here? You've got to understand. Don't come and try to pray away all your stuff. Get an understanding. People have broken churches up because they didn't have an understanding. So-and-so don't like me. So you know what? I ain't going to talk to them. Next thing you know, you got factions in the church. And it was something simple that can be communicated about. And they refused to get an understanding. In all thy getting, get an understanding. Understand. And it comes down to just brass tacks. Understand that you need oil in your car for your car to work. Don't just drive 7 years and you ain't never changed your oil and then say, the devil is fighting my car. The devil's not fighting your car. You don't have understanding. There are certain principles that this world operates on, and you can't override principles. You got to have an understanding. Well, Pastor, I believed I could jump off of my roof and the devil got in somehow and I broke my ankles. No, you don't understand gravity. I don't care how saved you are, gravity still works. So look at your neighbor and say, get an understanding. Get an understanding. Don't go through life blind. Get an understanding. If the blind lead the blind, we all gonna be in the ditch. And it's too many blind people in the church. It's too many ignorant people in the church. It's too many stupid people in the church because they refuse to get an understanding. And the problem is they want all the understanding to come from the pulpit. I cannot do your studying for you. I cannot live your life for you. You got to go between the porch and the altar, and you got to ask God, what is going on? You got to talk to God and get an understanding. Somebody say it again. Say, get an understanding. You cannot be a leader without an understanding. You got to know. And you got to know when to shift. You got to know when the well is dry and it's time to go. You got to know when the relationship is over. You got to know when you need to look for another job. You got to know when you've got the wrong friends who've been taken from you, robbing you. Get an understanding and make a shift and watch how your life will grow. All right, enough of that, but that felt good to me. All right, shift number one. Somebody say shift number one. Understanding the time and season you're in. One of the most basic understanding is you've got to be able to navigate and diagnose and understand what time and season am I in. Every season is not the same. Every time is not the same. You've got to understand that. To give you a practical example, in January in Indiana, if you want to, you can go out with a tank top and you can go out with no shoes on and you can frolic in the grass if you want to. But if you like me, if you got melanin, if you black like me, that ain't gonna work too well for you. Somebody else may get away with it, but you better understand in this season, there's some stuff you can't do. What we call it in this part of the world, we call it the hawk. When the hawk is out there, you better put an undershirt on, some long johns. You better do something because that wind does not play. That wind will rip through that little jacket. But once you understand the season, you can prepare ahead of time. And many of us, we walk in seasons unprepared, but you cannot keep walking in seasons unprepared because it's not changing. The season is the same. It's going to be cold in January, so govern yourself accordingly. Amen. I've been broke all my life. Pastor, what can I do? Let's start. Have you ever given to the church? Well, I didn't really think that was important. Well, I can't fix your issues when you don't understand times and seasons. So the first thing, you have to understand the time and the season you're in. And let me say this also spiritually. Not everybody's in the same season and time. So you can't look at Ruthah and judge your life by what she's doing because she might be in another season that you're in. You got to know your season. You got to know your time. And you got to govern yourself accordingly. And you have to make shifts based on the season you're in. Sometimes I've been in seasons of silence where it's not time to do a bunch of talking. I need to be praying. So I can't be around a bunch of people that want me to do a bunch of talking. I need people who understand it's time to be quiet. My wife has been around me long enough. When I'm ruminating with something, got something going on, and I get quiet, sometimes she'll say, "Are you with us, Andre?" She wants to see where I'm at. And when she knows what I'm doing, she understands this is a season to leave them alone because I'm trying to get a word from God. You got to have people in your life that understand the season you're in. I don't need to be bothered right now. I don't need to go to Kings Island right now. I don't want to go to the mall right now. I'm trying to get a word from God. I need you to understand the season I'm in. If I know the season I'm in, I need everybody else around me to know the season I'm in. And right now, the way I'm preaching in this church, because we're in a season to move, and I'm tired of our lethargic, lazy, laid-back ways, it's time to go. Yeah. Pastor, you've been kind of fussy. I'm going to keep fussing because we got a season. A door is opening, and if you don't move when the door is open, the door may close. And here's the thing. Doors, God does not, he's not obligated to open a door a second time. When the door is open the first time, you got to be ready to get through the door. If you don't believe me, look at Noah's time. They kept the door open for 120 years. But when it was time for rain and the door shut, there was no more getting in. And what I'm saying, there's a window of opportunity for this ministry. And we've got to move. We got to ship. We got to get in it or get left behind. Sometimes the season comes back around, but it's a long time. The children of Israel, it was time for them to grow into the promised land. And they failed. They got another opportunity, but it was 40 years later. Some of y'all are not going to last another 40 years. A lot of those people died off. You got to make up in your mind, I'm too old to miss another opportunity. I'm too old to miss another move of God. Next time God moves, next time there's an open heaven, I want to shift and get in. All right, let's read the verse we have up. 1 Chronicles 12:32.
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do.
This is where they were listing the tribes of Israel. And when it got to the children of Issachar, they said they were men who had understanding of the times. This is what lifted them out above everybody else. They understood the times. And then this is what it says. And they knew what Israel ought to do. This is what I need us to understand. If you don't know the time, you won't know what you need to do. If you don't understand the season, you won't know what to do. I'm trying to paint a picture that we are in a different season with the political climate that we have, with the racial and civil unrest. It's not time to play church. I want you to understand you need to know what you need to be doing. Some of y'all need to be saving instead of spending because you don't know what's going to happen next. Don't play with your life. Get prepared and get ready. Know the season, understand the time, and know what you ought to do. All right, we're going to go to shift number two. I'm going to move through these kind of quick because shift number three, I'm going to have to take some time explaining. Shift number two says this, understanding the power of no. When you understand your time and your season, it makes it easier for you to say no. You cannot be a leader and say yes to everything. You got to learn how to say no to some people close to you, especially if they're hindering you from your season. If you got people hanging on you and taking from you, and when you want to get something done, they're never around. When they need something, they always know your number. When you need something, you can't find them. You got to learn the power of saying no. I'm not letting anybody hang on in this season that's dragging me down, that's pulling me down. The most anointed thing I can do in this season is learn two letters, N-O, no. I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes say this. He's promoting his new book called Soar, which is basically about entrepreneurs. It ties in Christian principles, but talks about entrepreneurship. He talked about the fact that at some point a business, he gave the example of a donut shop. A donut shop has to say no to selling chili because if I become too many things, I can't focus on who I am the best. I can't be a donut shop and a chili shop and a chicken shop. I got to focus on what I am the best and maximize who I am the best and flow with that. Yeah. This is what you got to understand. In your spiritual life, you're not Walmart. Walmart can get away with selling any and everything. You can go to Walmart and buy tires and buy a battery and buy chicken, but you're not Walmart. You need to focus on what you need to focus on. And everything that doesn't fit in what you're called to be, you got to learn how to say no to it. There's some good-looking men you're going to have to tell no. There's some good-looking women you're going to have to tell no. And some of you adults, there's some beautiful children that you have that you're going to have to tell no. You done raised them. You done got them as far as you can. You babysit their babies for free. But now they always want to be in your pocket. You in this season to tell some of your kids no. I carried you 9 months. I carried you for 18 and 22 years. Now you're 33 and you want all this stuff? No. But Pastor, I feel bad when I say no. And you're going to stay in a bad shape. You better understand the power of no. You cannot be a leader and say yes to everything. Sometimes you got to shift to saying no. What is most important to me right now? In other words, if I was going to die in 4 years, what can I not afford to get involved in? Who can I not afford to mess around with? Who can I not afford to talk to? Because time is winding up. I don't have time to play. So guess what? Out the gate, the answer is no. I may pray about it later, but right now, no. Well, can you loan me? No. Well, can you pay this? No. I'm focusing on something right now. And it sounds rough, but let's go to the scripture. The scripture said that there was five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. They both were virgins. Which means all 10 of them were saved, but five of them had wisdom and five of them were foolish. And when they got in the season, the foolish people said, give me some of your oil. They said, we can't afford to. I can't afford to get where I want to be in God and talk to you all night and you won't listen to my advice anyway. I got to hang up the phone and say no. Now, I know this ain't real saved, but let me say it this way. Some of y'all need to say Hades no. Hades no. No. Uh-uh. I ain't going there. I ain't doing that. No. Why don't you just practice it and just say no?
No.
All right. Good. That feels good. In this season, you're going to have to learn how to say no. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. So there's a lot of things that look good that's not God at all. So I'm not talking about just crazy stuff. When somebody say, can you preach in Alaska tomorrow? I know I got to say no to that. That makes sense. But I'm talking about the stuff that looks right. And looks good. You got to discern. And when your spirit says no, stop overriding your spirit. And stop making yourself connect to people that in your spirit, God is saying no. It's something about them that just makes my skin crawl. But they're a preacher. Listen, when your spirit says no, no means no.
All right. Now before I give us some verses, I want to turn the corner real quick. Because as I thought about this, I want to talk specifically to us men and any men watching me on live or may watch me on YouTube or wherever on the podcast. Not only do people need to understand no, men, when you hear no, no means no. And I'm bringing that up because of the accusations that we're hearing about. And a lot of women have been putting me too, saying how they have been sexually assaulted and how they have been taken advantage of. And our society makes people think, well, you wore a too provocative skirt. That's why you got in the situation you got in. But the truth of the matter is no still means no. And let me tell any man here, you better understand no means no. I don't care what your hormones are doing. You cannot assault people. You can't take advantage of people. You can't use your power to get what you want. No means no. And male, I want you to hear it. No means no. Too many people have been assaulted and their voice has not been heard and their voice has been buried and it's happened in the church, and I want to be one of those leaders that stand up and say no means no. And I'm not so naive to believe that there's not people sitting in this room right now, male and female, that have to say me too, where somebody in power took from them because they wanted to. The devil is a liar. And this is one thing I can promise you. I can promise you I'll never lay a hand on anybody in here that's not my wife. I understand what I'm supposed to be. I understand what I'm called to. And I'm not going to play church. I'm going to be the leader that God has called me to be. That's enough of that. But also, let me say, I got a daughter. And y'all got to pray for me, because I'm not going to be a pastor if something happened to my daughter. I'm going to be the guy that got a pistol. Y'all going to have to catch me and slow me down and get to me, because I don't like when anybody's assaulted. I don't like when anybody's taken advantage of. I don't like when anybody is done wrong. And before you send your kids to school, pray over them. Before you put them in basketball and football, pray over them. There's some sick people in this world. Pray over your kids. And tell your kids when something is off. You can't take candy from everybody. You can't do anything. You check your kids. I don't want to stay on this too long, but I'm going to give you a quick example. My son went to the bathroom the other day. We were in Indianapolis. And so I went behind him, and I got to where he couldn't see me. And I wanted to just kind of touch him. And he recognized it was me. He just knew it was me. He said, I knew it was you. I said, well, I was just going to check you. I said, what would you do if somebody grabs you? That boy put me in a lock hole real quick, took my arm and twisted, and he said, then I would run out the door. I said, buddy, you're going to be all right. You're going to be fine. But I don't want to have my head so stuck in the spiritual cloud, I can't look at the craziness that's going on in our world. Train our kids, talk to our kids, and prepare them. And let me say that if you see something not right in the church, don't you wait 6 months before you tell the pastor. If something's going on and somebody's hugging you inappropriately, you better say something, because no means
no.
All right. That's a side note, but it had to be said. Especially when you have a president that talks about he grabs what he wants when he wants. We better tell these people no means no. And I ain't afraid to say it. All right, now let's move on. Luke 14:28.
Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete
it? I want to go back to the understanding of the spiritual saying no, where you can't be doing anything. This scripture says this, is that first of all, before you get involved in anything, you've got to count the cost. And if you're going to do anything, you have to count the cost. And the reason why some of y'all can't say no when you should say no is because you have never counted the cost. You don't know what it would cost you to say yes. Before I say yes, I want to know, what would it cost me? Can you take me so-and-so? I want to be nice, but first of all, I want to know where you need to go. How often do you need to go? Because I got a lot going on. I got a lot on my plate. I love you, but I'm going to count the cost before I say yes. And we're trained to just be nice and say yes to everything and yes to everybody. Count the cost. What will it cost you to say yes? Well, Pastor, I got some new bills, and so I'm going to get a second job.
What will it cost you to have a second job? It may be better for you to wait and try to catch up on your bills than to try to get a second job. Count up the cost before you say yes to anything. Anything in your life, you got to count the cost, diagnose it. Before you walk down the aisle, I know a lot of y'all single and lonely and you want to be married, but count up the cost. Think about it. I know he's good and he's cute and it's fun right now. Y'all been dating for 3 months, but count up the cost. I need you to look at things. I need you to pay attention to things so you know what needs to be done. Amen, Andre. Amen. All right, let's move on to the next verses. Proverbs 1 and 10.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
This is a simple saying from the King James Version. And years ago, Nancy Reagan had this saying that said, just say no. But before Nancy Reagan said it, it was in the Bible. My son, if sinners entice thee, just say no. Now, I want to turn the corner about your life, and let's just talk about sin, because we all got issues, we all got problems, but I want to talk to young people specifically, young people in church. You are going to be pressured to do some stuff that's going to rob your life, and you got to learn how to say no. We got to teach our kids to say no. There are people sitting in prison right now only because they were too weak to say no. There are people who it wasn't their idea. They didn't dream up the idea, but they got in the car of the person that did and spent 20 and 30 years. You got to learn how to say no. And young people, when you get in somebody's car, ask questions. Where are you going? Do you have any weapons? Do you have anything that'll get me in trouble? I'm on probation. I can't afford. You better say, the first thing you got to learn how to say is no. Where are we going? What are we doing? Listen, I need to know where we going, what we doing, who drinking what, the person behind the wheel. Do you smell like alcohol? I can catch the bus. I got to learn how to say no. If sinners entice me, consent thou not. Teach your kids. You're not a punk if you say no. You're not a wimp if you say no. Sometimes the only thing that'll preserve your life is saying no. And young girls, say no and carry a baseball bat with you if you have to. Learn how to get out of situations. But adults, grown folk, when sinners entice thee, say no. Now we know about all this other stuff, but let's bring it in church vernacular. When somebody wants to gossip, say no. See, we don't like to talk about gossip because that's not really a big sin and nobody really knows that I do it. But you'll tear up a church more with gossip than anything. So when people want to gossip and lie and backbite, even in Muncie, just say
no.
All right, next verse. Don't worry about that. Just next verse.
My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path.
It talks about, I like the way this verse puts it, says you can't even step on the path. Because there are some paths that are like a down escalator. The moment you step, you're not going to come back up. You're going straight down. There are some friends, the moment you get in their presence and lock arms with them and get in contract and covenant with them, you're going down. There are some relationships, the moment you hook up with them, you're going down. Be careful of your path. Be careful of your steps. The Bible says steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You better be careful, and you better wear a no sign on your head, because you can't get involved in any and everything. Amen. We thank God for having money, but we don't have money to bail all our kids out of jail. We got to teach them how to do what's right. And you adults, I don't want to bail you out of jail and come and visit you. I will, but that's not what I want to do. Learn how to say no. Amen? All right, next verse, and then we're moving on.
For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood.
Here's the thing. There are some people, I know we want to love everybody, and I know we try to preach to everybody, and I know we try to reach everybody, but there are some people, they run to evil. There are some people that run to shedding blood. They run to trouble. And if you get hooked up with them, if you get wagoned up to get them, and the Bible says don't be yoked up. If you get yoked up with certain people, they're going to run you straight into trouble. Learn how to say no. That's one of the major shifts that you need to understand. Understand how to say no. Sometimes you don't know you need to say no until you get in something. You said yes, and you get there, and you don't feel right. I don't care what you got to do. Make up something. Make your phone ring and say, oh, I got an emergency, and get out. Whatever you got to do to get out of whatever situation, preserve your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This is good teaching. Amen. A lot of my friends would be preaching like I'm preaching if they knew how to say no. A lot of my friends wouldn't have been in the situation they was in, but everybody wanted to fit in. But I was already odd and different and awkward, and I stopped trying to fit in. And now those same friends look up to me and respect me because somewhere down the line, I learned the importance of saying no.
Amen.
Amen. And as a leader, I just can't say yes to everything. All right, now we're gonna move to our last shift, shift number three. And I got to take some time. I'm going to slow things up a little bit and probably give you something that you may have never seen in Scripture. So give me some time to work it. Shift number three is understanding spiritual information to shift from surviving to thriving. So first we would need to understand the season and time. We need to understand no. But now we need to actually understand spiritual information. This is the reason why you're here. Is so that you can understand spiritual information, words from the Bible. I'm talking about Scripture. I'm talking about spiritual things, not just Google and Facebook. I'm saying spiritual information that gets you shifting from surviving to thriving. We've got the ribbon up here and because we're celebrating breast cancer awareness and survivors. But when it comes in the spiritual world, a lot of us are just existing and we're just surviving. We're just barely holding on. How many times have you heard Christians give the testimony, I'm just hanging on in there? Well, we got to stop just hanging on. At some point, we got to start thriving.
Amen.
At some point, we got to start moving. And so we want to have understand spiritual information. I got another way I want to phrase it. We're going to put it up again in a different terminology. Shift number three, understanding spiritual information to shift from being reactive to proactive. A lot of us are reactive. We react when there's a problem, but we have to learn how to be proactive. A lot of people, they want to have a visual. The moment somebody gets shot, oh, Muncie's awful. We're doing too much shooting. Let's rally and pray. Let's pray before they shoot.
Amen.
Let's not be reactive. Let's be proactive. And when you understand spiritual information and you give spiritual ear to it, the scripture says this. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So I want to turn a corner and I want us to start digging deep. In spiritual understanding. And I'm going to give us what I call a case study. So we have a leadership in case study. Moses and Israelites in bondage versus Daniel and Israelites in the exile. So we're going to do a quick case study. And we're going to close in this case study. But we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at two people in similar situations. Moses and the children of Israel when they were in slavery to the Egyptians. And then we're going to look at when Daniel was in slavery to the Babylonians. All right. So let's go to Genesis 15 and 12.
And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram.
I'm going to stop you right there. This is before he was Abraham. This is back when he was just Abram. Read.
And lo, an hour of great darkness fell upon him.
Basically what happened is the Spirit of God was hovering over him and was going to give him some information in a dream. I want to say this also. Pay attention to your dreams. Not all your dreams are crazy. Don't just waste good dreams. Some of you need to put a pen and pad by your nightstand. And when you hear things in the night hour, you need to start understanding the way God speaks to you. There is spiritual information you're not going to get from CNN.
Yeah.
There's some spiritual information you're not even going to get at Deliverance Temple. There's some stuff you got to do on your own and tap into what God is saying to you. Because sometimes it's the difference between life and death for you. Don't try to listen for somebody else. Well, that word was good for so-so. No, listen for you. He that has an ear, hear what God is saying to you. And sometimes God is talking to you, but we miss what he's saying. There's an old story saying there was a man stuck out in the middle of the ocean, and he was drowning, and he praised God and said, God, get me out of this situation. And a helicopter flew overhead and said, here, we're here to save you. And he waved and said, no, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of me. And then a cruise ship came by and tried to throw a life raft after him. He said, no, God's going to take care of me. And the next thing he said, he woke up in heaven saying, oh, wait a second. I thought you was going to take care of me. And God said, I sent you a helicopter. I sent you a cruise ship. I sent you your answer, but you didn't recognize it.
Hallelujah.
God is speaking, but you don't recognize it. And one of the first messages I preached this year was talking about how the reason why God gives us hidden messages is so your enemy won't catch what God is doing. God doesn't want the devil to know what he's doing. So he doesn't do everything in church. He won't do everything through a song. You got to be disciplined enough. You got to make the shift to hear what God is saying no matter what way he speaks. He might even be speaking through your kids. Mama, I don't like him. He makes me feel creepy. Listen to your daughter. Listen, God is talking to us. Sometimes it's the dog that's barking at your boyfriend every time he steps on the grass. Listen to what God is saying. Your dog likes everybody. He likes the mailman. He likes even the baby dogs. He likes everything but that rascal. Listen to what God is saying. Make the necessary shifts. All right. So he spoke to him in a dream, and look what he says in verse 13.
And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
God, we talked about it in Bible study, God was not in control this time because Adam had given up control. So what God was warning Abraham back when he was just Abram, he said, I'm going to give you seed. I'm going to give you a nation. But I want you to look and see that there's going to come a time that your seed, your nation is going to be enslaved for 400 years. He warned him. Sometimes we get in stuff and wonder, why didn't God tell us? But God warned us a long time ago. And I got to say something to us older people. Sometimes the warning came to you, but you failed to pass things down from generation to generation. You got to tell. Don't just buy your baby's toys, your grandbaby's toys. Talk to your grandbabies because there's some stuff you can warn them from. All right, pull up this point. God sent them Moses at the age of 40, which was the 390th year of slavery. Interesting. On the 390th year of slavery, God raised up a Moses. But before even that, he allowed Moses to go down the Nile River and to get in Egypt and to learn from Egypt. And Moses was ready to lead at 40. And this was 390 years. So what this means, if there was only 10 years left of slavery, and God was already working on the deliverer. But when Moses got there, and Moses ended up killing the Egyptian, the Israelites said, I saw what you did. How you think you're going to lead me? I saw what you did. Moses got scared and ran. And Moses didn't come back for another 40 years. So if this happened in the 390th year in slavery, and Moses was delayed another 40 years, it was Moses' fault and it was the Israelites' fault. Moses should have had enough gumption to say, I don't care what I've done wrong. God has raised me up as a deliverer. I don't care what my past looks like. God has raised me up as a deliverer. But the children of Israel should have been looking for a deliverer. But they had got stuck. So let's read the next verse I have. Exodus 12 and 40.
Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years.
Now look here. God told them, your people are going to be trapped for 400 years. In the 390th year, he sent the answer, and they didn't see the answer, and it cost them another 30 years of slavery. It cost them 30 more years of slavery because they couldn't recognize the answer from God. What is delayed in your life because when the answer comes, you deny it and you turn it around? And because of what it looks like, but didn't you used to be a prostitute? But they just might be your deliverer. You cannot judge a book by its cover. You got to know, I've been looking for any deliverer. I don't care how it comes. I don't care if somebody hits the lottery and blesses me. I ain't going to get too sedentary. I've been looking for any breakthrough because I know my season is close. I'm ready to make a shift. I don't want to miss anything.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to stick my head in the sand. I don't want to miss nary a thing because breakthrough is close. I've been in slavery too long for breakthrough not to be coming. So I'm ready. And let me talk to you women again. Start dressing up again. Put your makeup back on. Because somebody is coming. Somebody is looking at you. Learn how to cook. Do something. Prepare yourself. Your season is coming. You got to get ready for what God has for you. Hit the treadmill if you have to. Put away the pasta if you have to. Whatever you got to do, you got to prepare yourself because it's close. You ought to feel it when breakthrough is close. They were 10 years away from breakthrough and never even knew it and missed an opportunity. Read the next verse.
At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt.
So on the 430th year, they got out. 40 years later, they got out. Now we're going to switch. Let's do this. Let's compare that to Daniel's day. Daniel was in exile, but let's watch how Daniel handled it. The problem in the first scenario, it was Moses' fault as well as the Israelites' fault. It was the leaders and the followers' fault. But let's look what happened in Daniel's day. All right, so let's go to...
In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures.
Wait a second. He understood from watching the news. He understood from listening to the latest rap song. He understood from being in the club all the time. Let me stop just for a second. I don't judge you for going to the club. I don't judge you for watching the news. I don't judge you for listening to the rap song. But I need you to understand there's some understanding you only going to get from the scriptures.
Yes, hallelujah.
You need to be in the house of God. You need to hear the word of God. There's some stuff that you will not get through unless you make a shift and start understanding the scriptures. Amen. You've been saved too long to only have two scriptures memorized. What are you doing? Why are you wasting time? Why do you come Sunday after Sunday and you don't know how to get out of a headache? You need to understand scriptures. You need to understand spiritual information. You need to know what the end times look like. Everybody talks about the end times. You need to know what it looks like, and you need the scriptures. That's why I told you last week, my job is to feed you the word. Yeah. My job is to stick the word. I'm not trying to make you shout. I'm trying to give you the word, because what we're getting into next, we got to have understanding from the scriptures. Yeah. Read some more.
I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years.
So this was interesting. Daniel, in his time, was looking at the word of God, and he found what Jeremiah had wrote. So Daniel was in his time and found what was wrote before. So this is what I want you to understand. The word of God is always relevant. It's always relevant to your situation. I don't care if it was written 1,000, 2,000 years ago. The word of God is always relevant, but not everything is relevant to your situation. So you got to dig. You can't just open the Bible and say, I'm just going to read this and see what happens. No, you got to dig. If you're going through depression, don't just open your Bible. Look up everything about depression you can find. You got to dig. But he found his situation was already written in the word of God. Now let me go back to the children of Israel. One thing that they didn't have the word of God written down. So we understand maybe why they missed the way they missed, because they didn't have the word written. The word was spoken. They had the oral tradition, but it wasn't actually written down. But this time, Daniel could read it. He could look at it. And let me say something else. We can't blame some of our ancestors. They didn't know how to read, but we got too much education at our fingertips. We can get the Greek and the Hebrew. We need to have more power in the church, but we've gotten so lazy. We got to dig and get the understanding from the word of God. All right. And so he figured out and found out something. He found out that what I'm in is only supposed to last 70 years. Let me put this point up. Daniel 9, the chapter that she's reading from, it takes place in 538 BC. The captivity started in 605 BC. They got put into Babylon. The first exile got put into Babylon in 605. It, before BC, it counts down. It counts down to zero. So from 605 to 538 is the 67th year. And Daniel said, wait a second. The word of God says we're only supposed to be in this 70 years. I'm in the 67th year. So let's look at what Daniel did not do. He didn't just go to sleep and say, well, in three more years, God's going to make a way. No, what he realizes, wait a second, I am real close. Look at the next verse.
So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes.
He said, I'm so close. I'm going to turn and I'm going to talk to God. I don't have time to eat. I don't have time to watch TV. I don't have time to be on Facebook. I'm too close to play with this. He turned and began to talk to God. Now, Daniel was already a prayer warrior. We knew that. That's how he got out of the lion's den. But when he got this information, he turned. He began to fast. I don't want to call a fast as a pastor. I want you to have enough spiritual sense to know when you need to fast for yourself and know when you need to grab God for yourself. Yeah. Read the next verse.
I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments.
The first thing Daniel did, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to thank God for who he already is. Whenever you're close to breakthrough and it's been wearing you out, and you've been stuck in it 67 years, and you see there might be some light at the end of the tunnel, don't talk to God and complain about everything that hasn't happened wrong. Look to God and say, God, I love you for who you are. Thank you for the breath in my body. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you that I didn't die in the wilderness. Thank you that I didn't lose my mind. You got to learn how to praise God for what he's already done in your life. You're too close to start complaining now. You're too close to fuss at God now. Tell God who he is, because at the end of the day, if you're still breathing, if you're still surviving, you got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to give God glory. You got a reason to say thank you, God. Somebody died for the same thing I went in. Somebody went crazy for the same thing I went through. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to come back to church. I'm going to give my offering, because God is a good God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I got to give God some praise. I ain't got time to play. I got to give God what belongs to him. He's worthy. He's an awesome God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi. I got to praise the Lord. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Daniel said, I'm in the 67th year. I'm about to get a hold of God. Next verse. Gotta keep us moving. 9 and 5. Come on.
We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws.
I want us to understand this. The Bible says Daniel had an excellent spirit. So Daniel turned as a leader. Here's one of the shifts you got to make as a leader. It's not about my sin. I'm going to pray for the sin of everybody I know. Because when you are a leader, you go to God for everything. I'm praying for my babies. The reason why some of us are here is because our grandma, when we was messed up, prayed for us and repented for us. David said, we have sinned and done wrong. Not only did he praise God, he started telling God, we're sorry. We're sorry for the way we acted. We're sorry for the way we talked. Sometimes you got to tell God sorry for your whole entire family. Praise God. I got a towel. I'm just too excited to use it, but thank God. Praise him. And my job as a leader is to feed you the word, but I got to pray for y'all. I apologize for y'all. I say, God, we are sorry. Not they are. We, a leader, includes themselves in the blame. We have sinned. God, what has the Mitchell family done that's making things mess up? We have sinned. God, help us. God, touch us. Purge us with hyssop, and we'll be clean. Wash us. We'll be watered and soaked. Don't take your spirit from us. You need to get back to intercessory prayer, where you stand in the gap for people and you pray on their behalf. Pray for your sons. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your daughter. Pray for your nation. Pray for this world. We look at the news and just shake our head. Oh, they shooting again. Start praying. Call Chicago out. Call Indianapolis out. Call Muncie out. Now, you may not fix every problem, but if you fix just one, it's worth it. He said, we've turned away from your command and your laws. We're going to drop all the way down to verse 20, and let's see what happened.
While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people
confessing
Israel.
My sin and the sin of my people.
And making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill.
Now, if you have time, you can look from verse 5 down to 20. I mean, Daniel goes for broke, praying for his people. Next verse.
While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice.
Gabriel always represents the messenger angel. Yeah. He said, while I was talking to God and repenting everything moving. I repent for the spiders in my house. I'm praying for everything. The messenger came and said, I'm getting ready to step in and show you something. You can't go all out for God without God sending you a message.
Hallelujah.
All right, next verse.
He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding.
This is so powerful. I said, the last shift is a shift to understanding spiritual information. And once he understood the scriptures, he began to pray. And the message came back. He said, I'm going to give you more understanding. I'm going to give you more insight. I'm going to give you more revelation. Here's the thing. Once you start with what you have, God will open up more. The reason why so many people in the church are void of revelation is because they won't start with what they have. Start by talking to God. Start by praying to God. And what God will do, God will open up revelation. God will drop stuff in you that you ain't got no business knowing. I want you to understand there's some people that have better degrees than you, but God can drop information from the ages and move you above everybody because he's got insight. And he's got understanding. And if we're going to make it in this new season, we got to hear the voice of the Lord. Next verse.
As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you.
This we actually see in the next chapter of Daniel. But he says that the moment you pray, I hear. It may take me a while to get the answer to you, but don't stop praying. You might have been praying for it for 10 years, but the first time you open your mouth, God heard it. And God is orchestrating things. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop believing in God. Don't
Hallelujah.
Throw in the towel.
Yes.
Don't give up. Don't lay over for dead, because God heard your prayer and you're closer than what you think you are.
Hallelujah.
You're closer to the breakthrough than you understand. It's just around the corner. I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I want you to stay with God. I want you to believe in God. I want you to press as hard as you can press. Don't quit now. You're too close. I'm going to close with this point. And I want to show you something that's powerful. Put it up to Daniel 9 happens in 538 BC. 605, they go into captivity. 538, when Daniel chapter 9 is the 67th year. Now, the next year after Daniel prayed, the first exile came home. The Bible said it's going to be 70 years. But Daniel prayed so hard that the first exile came home in only 68 years. In Moses in the Israelite time, they added 30 years to their slavery. But Daniel shortened the slavery by 2 years. I don't know what bondage you're in, but if you shift and start talking to God, if you shift and start depending on God, if you shift and start leaning on God, there's some stuff that's supposed to happen that's going to start happening now. There's some stuff God planned for you 5 years from now. You're going to pull it into now because you're going to make a move. I got to close, but the Syrophoenician woman was told by God, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And basically, he said, it's not right to give the children bread to the dogs. And the Syrophoenician woman said, listen, You can call me what you want to call me, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. God, I need something right now. I need something in 2017. I want you to move for me now. And let me say this. There was a woman with an issue of blood, and Jesus was going somewhere else. But the woman said, I'm tired of this condition. I'm going to touch him now. I'm going to pull something now. Now, faith is the substance. I want it now. I know I can get it later, but I'm about to shorten this thing. I'm about to speed up this thing. I'm about to accelerate this thing. I'm going to get blessed now. Somebody say now. 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 I'm not waiting. Some stuff is going to happen right now. Because I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to repent. I'm going to declare, and it's going to happen now. Oh, glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Leader shifts. Here we are as leaders. We can shift, and we can add to people's slavery, or we can shift, and we can shorten it. Now, let me say this. I didn't explain. There were some people that stayed for 70 years. Not everybody's going to want to go. But the people that want to get delivered quick and to get delivered now, us leaders, let's shift them into it. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the word you've given me. We are leaders making moves and shifting the momentum so that the power of God can hit our city, can hit our family, can hit our town, that can hit our loved ones. And there's some bondages that we've been in that are drying up at the moment that I'm speaking, which is right now. Now, God, as the leader here, I apologize and repent for our sins. I repent for our ways. But what's so beautiful, God, is back then they didn't have the Messiah. But we have Jesus and his blood. So now I don't even have to really repent. All I got to do is plead the blood. Because the blood will wash. The blood will bathe. The blood will cleanse. And the blood will make some stuff happen right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Let's shout and holler and give God some praise and some glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. Thank God. We want to go from surviving to thriving. If you need prayer for anything, would you just come?